Friday. It is finally Friday, and it is the 3rd of May, 2024. Hello, hello to all of you. It is so awesome to see so many faces. What an amazing week this has been. Welcome to all of you who are live in the live chat, and those of you listening live but not chatting, it's always great to have you. Our friends who are up there in Canada and there are our friends in the rest of the United States, the great state in the Republic of Texas, and all of our friends. We have one in here tonight who are in South America. It is a pleasure. It is a blessing for those of you listening on the replay. My goodness, the downloads are just increasing on a daily basis. And it's just awesome. I just never thought that would happen. And it's all a credit to you. It is all a credit to you, all of you who are in the Philippines and those of you in Germany, Scotland, New Zealand, Australia, Ukraine, Romania, England. My goodness, the list continues just to grow and grow and grow and grow. Hey, tonight, it's not going to get too serious tonight. Just because there's been, you know, it wasn't like a real heavy week. I mean, there was like a day in there where there was kind of a little bit of heaviness, but tonight's just a little bit lighter. However, that doesn't mean that you're not going to hear from the retards who happen to call DC their home. You may hear some people from some other states that call their states home, but let me tell you something. All of these things are still just all part of the fact that they are on their heels. They are scared. They don't like you. They are fearful of you. And so they just continue to do very, very, I wouldn't say ignorant things, because they're not really ignorant people. But at the same time, they are not well. And they are not the best and brightest. Do you remember when President Trump, back in, I think it was 2015, came down the elevator? And this was the beginning of the racist mantra, when he said that Mexico wasn't sending their best and brightest. We do not have our best and brightest living up in D.C. And in some instances, we don't have our best and brightest living in some of our states, the majority of our states, running a lot of the state houses. I'm going to tell you something, though. It is really on a worldwide basis. And I think that, believe it or not, one of the cool things about Hungary, Tucker Carlson is over there. I'm about to play you a clip so you can hear Viktor Orban comment. And you're going to listen to Tucker. Tucker's going to hit him with a couple different things. But the people in Hungary, they get it and they understand it. They have a very strict immigration policy. Poland used to, up until about 2 or 3 months ago. And I bring that up because it was today, maybe late last night, when the Biden administration put out a statement calling our allies, especially those in Japan, calling them xenophobes. Literally called them xenophobes for not having the immigration policy that we do. Now, most people in this country are beginning to catch on to the fact that the immigration policy that was currently being used, currently being run, is not for the benefit of the United States as a whole. It is not for the benefit of citizens of the United States as a whole. It is primarily to benefit a very select few minority people who are in the minority in numbers group of folks. I was chatting with some people earlier today. We were talking about they were looking at immigration because they just want to flood the United States with chaos. They only want to put them in certain places within the country. I happen to disagree with that. They want to indeed get those people within cities and within states that are primarily blue. They do want to change the political makeup of those states, California, New York. But at the same time, they do want to infiltrate them and just kind of sift. They just want to sift them in, sift them through, and into the interior of the country. Remember the long game. There is an element of the short game about what it is that they're doing, but ultimately it is a long game plan. At the same time, as you've heard me tell me, look at you guys listening to me talk to myself. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do it on the show for like an hour, hour and a half. I was texting Duncan McGregor over at Kilted Christian just a little bit before the show. And we were talking about the plan to increase the taxes, like the story that I brought you the other day, which is, elevating the cap gains tax up to 46%. And then all of the other areas that they want to tax you on. The cap gains tax is a significant tax. Don't get me wrong. And that caught the attention of a lot of people. What did not happen, I think, is that folks have a tendency to pay attention to that alone. If you were negotiating, you would say, well, okay, we don't need to put the capital gains tax up to 46%. Let's drop it down to 38 or whatever the number's going to be. But we want to leave these other things in place. And that's how it works. And that's how they sneak these other things into you. And those other taxes, inheritance tax, tax on insurance, the earned income tax credit for people who do not have children, all of those things are significant. Not just from a monetary standpoint or a monetary policy standpoint. We're going to have a clip. I'm going to have a clip for you here in a minute too about that. Not the smartest people are advising the sleepy one when it comes to monetary policy. At the same time, that's what folks were looking at. And then we got into a little bit more discussion, is a little bit more in depth. Obviously, the idea is to lower wages, which they are already falling. That came out today. Not only are wages are falling here for United States citizens. Jobs are decreasing for U.S. citizens as, once again, foreign-born labor is increasing in the number of jobs that they have in the United States while U.S. citizens are continuing to fall. That came out this afternoon, or this morning, rather. Put that in context with votes. They do want to change the makeup and the component of the House of Representatives. That is based on population, based on census, which is why they were adamant and they won against President Trump making changes to the census. That is one of the other ways that they cheat. If you don't have people here, then who can't vote, then you have to create these individuals out of whole cloth and thin air if you're trying to steal an election. We saw a fair amount of that. Or not having dead people removed from the voter rolls, plenty of that. And since they know that we're on to the game, now what they are doing is they are issuing these folks Social Security cards from DHS. It says that specifically on the top of the Social Security card. Much different than yours. It's supposed to be a flag and say, oh no, you can't do certain things. That's not going to be the case. They're going to have state legislatures. They're going to have courts. They're going to say, no, they have a Social Security card. That's their ID. They can vote. And then they're going to count on the fact, and this is why your action is so important at the local level, especially when it comes, even down to the degree of polling stations, okay? Even at the level of polling stations, if you don't have people who are aware or people who are willing to uphold the rule of law, you will have people who will be like, okay, well, that's a Social Security card. I guess that's going to work. Well, I mean, it says Department of Homeland Security on it. That's legitimate. I mean, that is going to be okay. Let's use the Social Security card, and now they vote. Or they take the data from those individuals, which they have because they have the one app, and the phones that they have been giving them, the contact information, and they will not try to even get them to vote. They'll just use their data to vote and steal it that way. In the end, this is what I was telling Duncan McGregor over at Guilty Christian. It is indentured servitude. It is no different than slavery. You guys come here, we're not going to go grab you unless you want to count the nearly 400,000 flights that were outside of the border into the country that the Biden administration was running. We're gonna let you come in here. The only difference is that they didn't bring them on a boat or on boats across the water. They made them come here. You said, you come here to us, then we'll do it. We're going to let you put yourself into slavery. We're going to let you think that you may have a chance at the quote unquote, the American dream. And you are going to have a life possibly better than what you have in El Salvador, Guatemala, or Mexico, or other places like that. But we want you to come in here, and now we are going to give you these things. It's not going to last for a long period of time. In some cases, it may last for 6 or 7 months. And then you own them. You own them. That is slavery. Conley, that's not slavery. I can't believe you're saying that kind of stuff. How can that be? It can be exactly that, because that is exactly what it is. Well, they can leave at any time. Do you think that they really are? Do you think that they're going to, that they're not going to hold out hope? That they're not going to hold out hope to be able to better their lives? Some may break free. They understand that. These people have planned it. They understand it. They have put it into their computers. They have used the AI. They run the scenarios. They run all of that. They know that there is going to be some that get away, that they break away from the plantation. But they know that they're going to retain the majority of them. What they are trying to replace are the black and already Latino citizens of the United States who are moving towards Trump. And it's not just Trump. It is truly the America First ideal. We don't want you involved with a lot of this stuff. We care not for your ideology. We care not for how you guys try to handle us. They see that. They recognize that. They've been ahead of the game. But it is slavery. Couple that with the trafficking of the children. Couple that with just the regular human trafficking. That's why it is important that you are, if you are led to do so, and I hope that you are, if you're not going to run for office, get involved in the election, get involved with something. At least try to make an impact, make a difference. I understand the machines and all of that kind of stuff, but at least you were doing something other than going, it's going to be stolen, we're going to lose. Viktor Orban.
You just had the leader of NATO, the United States, destroy the domestic energy supply of the second biggest NATO member, Germany. That happened. The United States was behind the destruction of Nord Stream, period. No one said anything about it. So how can Germany and the United States remain in an alliance together, the two key players in that alliance, if we attacked Germany, which we did? Answer that question, Mr. Orban.
It's a good question. We keep thinking about it on a daily basis. And you have the same question. If American liberals and the European liberals, they have the same mindset. They are under control of everything. They don't think at all about national interest. If President Trump comes back, America First policy will change the United States. It will destroy the connection between the European liberal elites and the American leadership. So now there will be a time when we can again think about our interests.
That is exactly what people have been talking about for the longest time over the last several years, and now it's coming to more people are becoming more aware that that is exactly what is going to happen. And it is exactly why, as the president of Hungary articulated so well, that the liberal elites who are in Europe and the ones here in the United States don't want him to win. And they're using, as we see, most of you are smart. I mean, I must say most of you are smart. I know some of you guys live in New Mexico. Bless your hearts for that. Making an allowance, not making a broad statement like that up. But the majority of you understand. What is at stake for so many different reasons? And it is incumbent upon you not to just sit on the sidelines and go, oh yeah, that's happening. Oh yeah, that's happening. I mean, I have my garden going. I have, you know, I'm learning classes and I'm getting skill sets, but there's some other things that you can be doing. And I understand life is doing things. Life has maybe some other plans, but there are things that you can say, hey, listen, I'm going to cut out an hour a month. I may take out 2 or 3 hours a month. And I want to go to my county Republican national or my county Republican county, whatever meeting. And I want to meet some people and I want to connect. You may want to get involved with the polling stations. You may want to be an overseer. You may want to be one of those who monitor votes. You may want to be one of those who watches them count. Something. If we don't, and I think without saying this, being overly dramatic, because that's not what we're about. I know that's what all of you are not about. It's good that you stay measured. You stay very even keeled when it comes to things like this. And you're like, oh my God, the cabal's about to do something, right? Okay, well, there you go. But if you don't, I believe it is, we will be at a precipice. There is not anybody like Trump. They took out DeSantis because they thought he might have some traction. And they brought him in to take on Trump. It wasn't really for him to take on Trump. It was to destroy him. It was to gain leverage over him so that when 4 years down the road, someone needs to come in and then take the place of Donald J., that it wasn't going to be Ron DeSantis. They made him look weak. They made him look bad. They put lifts in his boots and he was uncomfortable. He was uncomfortable because I don't believe he was ready to run. They shot that down. Then they ran Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley was just an attempt to get some notoriety. They saw how quickly that the America First people shot her down. Not literally, kids, metaphorically, eliminated her from any contention because they were on to her. Kudos for those of you who are on the social media platforms. Kudos to you who are using your voice so that it is not quiet and it is not silenced. But let me tell you something. I just want to remind you that you guys are so intelligent. You guys are so smart. They think that you're dumb, and it's to their detriment. And the problem is that is part of their playbook, and that playbook is so worn out. It is so useless, and yet it's all they have. Now, they're going to run some of these policies under and below the radar so they can sneak them in. Kind of like the TikTok ban thing that was in the bill for aid funding for Gaza and Ukraine, right? They're going to do that kind of shady stuff. But that's what they're going to do. You are going to be the counter to that. You already are the counter to that. They are having to counter you. And at the same time, I used to not grab onto the phrase, you know, they're out of touch. They just don't know what they're doing. there is a fair amount of that being out of touch. Part of the out of touchness is because they believe that they are better than you and that they are your betters. They are so out of touch. People are wondering whether or not this dude was drunk today. Mark Hamill went into the White House press briefing room as some sort of surprise because we got Luke Skywalker here. Luke Skywalker needs to go to Betty Ford.
Legislative successful president in my lifetime. And, you know, I don't have to go through the list of bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that inflation, 15 million jobs. Look, it's all good. I mean, I was really thrilled to meet the entire staff because, you know, it's not just one person. It's like a composite endeavor. And all these people, my goodness, you know, I mean, I have no idea. I had no idea just what went into
you have no idea
what is on his plate on you're a daily right about basis. That. So
there's nothing on his
that's
plate.
That's pretty much it. I'm open to questions, although no Star Wars questions, please. but I want to say once again how grateful I am, and it just shows you that one person can be so influential and so positive in our lives, and again, thank you so much.
Oh my God. Do you Do you think that he rubbed off? Do you think the Joe, not literally. I mean, there's no telling what happened in the Oval Office. Apparently Joe Biden rubbed off on Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill is one of those dug his heels into the ground type people who is going to be liberal regardless. The force was not with him today. No. The vodka was with him today. Hey, speaking of vodka, don't you love how the show, and for those of you who listened to Kilter Christian before, when he and I talk about this, the show just evolves. It is interwoven and so perfectly meshed together that things just happen, and you're like, I wasn't even planning that. Speaking of vodka, this is how little, whatever reputation he had left, it's gone. Vodka is good for tinctures. It's not good for Pelosi. Let me tell you what this country does. For those of you who are in the United States who aren't really well aware, and for those of you who live abroad, we have the Medal of Honor. That is the nation's highest award that can be bestowed upon a person who is in the military. For civilians, we have the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It is a civilian award. Alongside the Congressional Gold Medal, it is an award bestowed by decision of the President of the United States to recognize people who have made, quote, an especially meritorious contribution to the security or national interest of the United States, world peace, cultural, or other significant public or private endeavors. Now, the award is not limited to United States citizens. Today was the day that the Medal of Freedom was bestowed. The Medal of Freedom ceremony was in the White House and was bestowed on 19 people. Okay? Now, I just read you what that medal is supposed to represent. Okay, we saw I think it was the very last year of the Kenyan's administration when he gave the Medal of Freedom to people like Ellen DeGeneres and some other folks like that. Nation's highest award to civilians. It's supposedly made a meritorious contribution to the security or the national interest of the United States, world peace, cultural, or significant public or private endeavors. Speaking of vodka, guess who got a Medal of Freedom today? That's right. That's right. Probably one of the best known Wall Street traders next to the Wolf of Wall Street that the country has ever known. The magic that she is able to do, the magic that she has in being able to foresee, to make stock trades, even has her own social media account, not hers, but one that is dedicated specifically to her and her stock trades. Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House, Nancy Hands Pelosi, one of the only speakers of the House in my lifetime. And that's considerable, given that it is just a little bit over a half a century. I get to say it that way because I don't think that I sound really old, but just wise when I say it like that. Half a century, a little bit over. I don't think I have ever seen a Speaker of the House. That goes all the way back to my memory goes back to Tip O'Neill. Tipsy O'Neill. Good Irishman, Democrat, don't think that he wasn't down for some of the libation during the day. In the model of our good friend, God rest his soul, Tip O'Neill. Sound like a politician, don't I? I should be in Congress when you hear that kind of stuff. Yes. Nancy Pelosi and her ninja hands when she talks. It's not quite a requirement for most Democrats, it is. However, unless you were the Speaker of the House here in the great state in the Republic of Texas, drunkenness also applies to even if you have an R by your name, although he's not really an R. Are you Dade Phelan? No, Dade Phelan, you're really not. You should have a big giant C by your name. Not that word, cuck. Dade Phelan is exactly one of those. Former vice president, in case you've been a little concerned, you see where we talked about the taxes, and the taxes were coming up. They're going to raise them. They're going to start taxing everything. It's in a lockbox. Former vice president, Al Gore. Your Social Security's in a lockbox. It's never been in a lockbox. It was actually enveloped into the general fund back in the 60s so that they could fund the Great Society from LBJ. Yeah, it's in a lockbox. Climate activist, climate change man extraordinaire. You never see Tipper around anymore, do you? Never see Tipper hanging around. It's always Al Gore. Greenland, still full of ice. Iceland, still full of ice. The glaciers, still there. By the way, and I don't remember who posted this today, just so you know. April, in the United States, was the coolest it's been since 1981. That was 81 before we were really trying to, was it coolest or hottest? I can't remember. Either one. 81 was the coolest. It got hotter. I don't know. One of the other ways. Meaning that climate change is a hoax. You get the idea. Sometimes, it's rare. It is rare, not like steaks, but sometimes podcast host fumbles the ball. Fortunately, it's out of bounds, and we still have it. President Al Gore, Representative James E. Clyburn, a Democrat out of South Carolina. What happened? There we go. Now, gave a shout out to Clyburn. I wouldn't be standing here as president making these awards if not for Jim. Jim is the best. Thank you. Primarily because of Clyburn's endorsement ahead of the Democratic South Carolina is largely attributed to Biden ultimately winning the nomination in 2020. Probably not the case. I would attribute it to a water leak at whatever center there was in Atlanta when everybody shut and sent everybody home, except the people pulling out the black boxes and then running the votes again through the machines. That's what I would attribute it to. It had zero to do with Democrat Representative James Clyburn out of South Carolina. The president then commended Nancy Pelosi for what he said was defending. She was so strong. She was so strong during January 6th, wasn't she? She knew what was coming. She knew what was coming just like her stock trades. Had her daughter there doing the documentary. Even her daughter said that the January 6th wasn't an insurrection. You guys ever see that video? It's some down low video of her actually speaking the inside words out in the documentary film. And then she's good at, I wish I could just punch him in the mouth. Ooh, that's why you don't drink vodka at 9 o'clock in the morning. One of the reasons. Sleepy Joe said that he was proud of Nancy Pelosi for defending democracy on January 6, 2021, and said history will remember her as the greatest speaker of the House of Representatives. Now, that's what he said. Many interpret him that he probably misread the teleprompter wrong, and that the teleprompter actually said that history will remember her as the greatest drinker of the House of Representatives. I don't know that for a fact, okay? I wasn't there. But that's some say. That's now my new favorite phrase when you're like, what are you talking about? What's your source? What's your sauce for that? Some say, like y'all do. I'm just going to do that. Some say that he was really calling her out for being the greatest drinker in the House of Representatives, which is still a huge thing. It's still a big deal. Biden noted that Gore won the popular vote. That's why they want democracy, kids. That's exactly why they use that term. That's exactly why they use that word, because Al Gore won the popular vote. So did Hillary Clinton. Some say that she killed enough people to win it. Some say, not me, the podcast host. Not say the podcast host didn't say that. Some say that she killed enough people to win the popular vote. But he noted that Gore won the popular vote, but accepted the outcome of the presidential election for the sake of unity and trust in our institutions. Horse Adam Schiff. That is not the case. Remember the hanging chads? Remember the cases before the Florida Supreme Court? Remember all of that, all of that going on? And we remember the picture of that man, and he was, you know, he had the card, and he had his glasses down, way down on his nose, and they were looking at the Chad thing. Hanging Chads. Oh my gosh, that's so racist towards Antifa. Like, why you want to hang them? Because they're Chads. Other recipients was actress Michelle Yeoh, Olympic swimmer Katie Ledecky, good one, activist Opal Lee, And my favorite. And you're gonna wonder yourself, did he take it with him and then throw it over the fence at the White House? John Kerry got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which happens to be a further insult to what that award is supposed to represent. John Kerry is a despicable human being. There's some other despicable human beings in there too, but John Kerry is a primary one. Would run around the world with the shadow government campaign of Obama while President Trump was in office. John Kerry violated so many Hatch Act, Baker Act things when he was speaking to the mullahs in Iran and other leaders around the world. But let me tell you something. And it should anger you a little bit. It should just tweak you. It should not set well with you. But this is how they reward one another. They have to sit in their little bubble and pat each other on the back. You're so good. You did a good job there, John Kerry. Your Botox looks better than mine. Oh, love you. Love you back. Yeah. That's what they do. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Gregory J. Boyle, who is a Jesuit Catholic priest who founded Homeboy Ministries. And then they got to kind of even out. They got to even it out a little bit. Former Senator Elizabeth Dole. And then media personality Phil Donahue. That didn't quite even out. He said, Mayor Bloomberg has revolutionized our economy and changed us and challenged us as well. Huh? It made New York worse. And then after Bloomberg came de Blasio. After Giuliani, it just went to, well, pretty much like what is in the gutters of most streets there in New York City. Trash. I know what you were thinking. You were thinking the other word. It is that too. Of Phil Donahue, he said that he helped change hearts and minds through honest and open dialogue. Now, when you ever look back at the Phil Donahue show, when you ever look back at those shows, you kind of look back at him with a little bit of longing. You know, we missed the Carol Burnett show. I miss Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. Those were, when it came to that stuff, better days. Were we living in a coma? To a degree, we were. Was there an amount of moral character still within the United States, especially when it came to leadership positions? Yes, some. On the surface. When you get down to it and you dig into it, ooh, it's just as ugly and nasty as it is today. But I do miss some of those times. And Phil Donahue, you know, salacious. That brought up, and then here comes Oprah. You know, everybody was the Oprah Winfrey show. High five to her, you know. But at the same time, now people kind of know who and what she is. People also know who Phil Donahue is. And unfortunately, because you have other people here, Clarence B. Jones is a civil rights activist, astronaut Ellen Ochoa, astronomer Jane Rigby, United Farm Workers President Teresa Romero, Judy Shepard, who was the mother to Matthew Shepard, who was attacked and later died of his injuries. And one of the most notorious anti-gay hate crimes in U.S. history. I got to bring that up. Hey, we're going to give that to you. You were the mom. But for some of these folks, I mean, it's supposed to be an honor. And they have trashed it. Just like they have done the country. And they're not using it necessarily to make fun of you, although they are, because it does, because it mocks you. Look at who we're going to give the Medal of Freedom to, and we're going to clap. We're going to tell you to like them. These people are garbage, most of them. People that we should pray for, oh yeah, most definitely, but they are still garbage right now, nonetheless. Do they need to repent? Ask for forgiveness and repent? Yes, 100%. Because if they don't, yeah, it's straight in the hot box, kids. And it's not just for a couple weeks or a month or two. That's eternity. Because posthumously, the medal was awarded to civil rights activist Medgar Wiley Evers and Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe was a multi-sport athlete, first Native American to win the Olympic gold medal, ran track, played baseball. Super athlete. He's awarded that posthumously. And then the other one was Democrat New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg. Dig into him sometime. Okay? Have a look at what Lautenberg used to do. And that shows you what disdain they really have for things that are supposed to represent the goodness of our country. You guys have the same thing going on up in Canada. Many of you have already lost that in Europe. Give you a little bit more disdain. Hey, by the way, before we get more disdain, you guys remember the story a couple weeks ago where we were talking about the bird flu. It was at the chicken plant up in the panhandle of Texas. It was also at one of the dairies up there in the panhandle of Texas. It was up in Minnesota where allegedly one of Ilhan Omar's constituents, his girlfriend, caught the bird flu. Yes, it was a goat. Yes. And I told you that, hey, you know, it was several months ago, it was the middle of fall of last year, we started talking about disease X. Then we started notifying you that there was going to be a move amongst the WHO, the World Health Organization, with the pandemic treaty thing that is going to be signed or presented for signature here in the next 10 days. I'm going to tell you, there's already, I believe the number is 62 United States senators who have said that they are voting no on that and that they will not sign that. Vivian Dugan, though, so you're just aware, who is from the CDC, that's here in the United States. She is from the flu division, warned that the virus could be shifting to cattle. Yes, we knew that. She said this raised the risk of the virus spreading to humans. We kind of talked about that too. But she is supposedly America's top bird flu expert and says that the virus outbreak in cattle suggests that the virus is one step closer to spreading to humans. Okay. She did an interview with STAT News. She insisted that the risk to the general public was still low, but she admitted that the repeated infections in cattle suggested that the virus could become endemic in the species, raising the risk of the H5N1 spillover to humans. coming. It's coming. It's coming. Just don't be surprised. Be like, my gosh, Conley and a bunch of other people. They knew. How did they know? New Mexico, Texas, Kansas, Minnesota. Idaho and Wyoming. Okay? In between, Texas has had 12 number of herds per bird flu, or with the bird flu. 12 in Texas, 10 in New Mexico, running a little bit lower, about the halfway point in Kansas. Then you have some with one in Colorado, one over there in North Carolina, or South Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina. One up in Wyoming, one up in Idaho. They're going to trickle it out. They're going to trickle it out. It's trickling out. So get ready for that. Now, you know what? Let me find this, because we played that fantastic clip of this. Listen, Luke Skywalker. This is going to be Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz. The bill that just went through the House, H.R. 6090, all right, passed through the House really quick, pretty fast, over in the Senate right now. This is part of the reason why this is such a dangerous bill, and you're going to hear it towards the end.
This will be my last, Mr. Chairman. I have an additional unanimous consent request.
Gentleman's recognized.
George Soros prosecutors wage war on law and order at heritage.org.
Without objection.
Philadelphia's Soros-funded district attorney deceived court to get murderer off death row from the Washington Examiner.
Without objection.
George Soros' bad bet on progressive DAs from the Philadelphia Citizen.
Without objection. While we're keeping Mr. Klein waiting, you've all been here for a couple hours. If you need a break, just let us know. We can certainly give you a chance for a break.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I just want to say that with all the anti-Semitism we're seeing the anti-Semitism of using George Soros again. It's disgusting.
Point of privilege, Mr. Ranking Member, not every criticism of George Soros is anti-Semitic. The criticisms deal with public policy and the matters of rising crime with DAs. I don't know anything about Mr. Soros' faith. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back.
Don't know anything about his faith. We all know he's Jewish. But let me tell you something. And even though Nadler, all right, even though Nadler and Gaetz both voted against that bill, it is that Pavlovian response, and I don't know if it's Nadler's belt was too tight around his chest, caused him just to kind of lose his brain for a minute, who knows. But it is exactly what Gaetz was talking about, what Matt Gaetz was asking to be read into evidence, were DAs who were funded and campaigns were funded by George Soros. I think he had read off maybe four. And then what is the defense? And this is actually really telling, because most of you are aware of this. This is broad across many other spectrums, not just here in the House hearing. Nadler, who is a Jewish man, immediately goes into that's anti-Semitic to even use George Soros's name in relation to how he funded very corrupt DAs who are not doing their job protecting the citizens of their cities. That's why House Resolution 6090 was so bad. We gave you the language last night and where it came from, which is the National Holocaust Museum, and what it is that they determine to be anti-Semitic behavior. Pretty much it's going to be anything that upsets a Jewish person, which would probably be many of us who are Christians. Now, I'm not one of those who has always, or even ascribes, as a matter of fact, it angers me when I hear Christians, you know, out in public, publicly proclaiming that, you know, the Jews killed Jesus. Well, that's okay. Yes, he did. They did. He was Jewish too. But I never understood that. I mean, I do understand it. It's obviously to elicit a response. But they use it in such a way to attack Jews. You killed our Christ. You killed the Messiah. You don't even believe in the Messiah and you killed him. Yes, prophecy needed to be fulfilled and had to be fulfilled and was. So why I hear supposed Christians using that sort of language, and it's not many. It's and I don't say that like there's this whole swath of people in the country who are doing that. They don't. But there's a few. Call them out. Rebuke them on it. Shut them down. We don't need that garbage. It serves zero purpose other than to try to incite somebody into anger. But it is precisely that. And then whatever vagary accusation, because that was the language used, that you may make or insinuate or may not even make or insinuate. It's just that your very being could be considered anti-Semitic because you have a cross around your neck. You have a cross around your neck. You must hate Jews. I don't hate Jews. Prove it. Show me your papers. That's why it's dangerous. Golly, that's way out there. It's far-fetched. Is it? Is it really far-fetched? Because we just had a sitting New York congressman get a little pissed off and use its anti-Semitic to talk about George Soros, who openly claims he wants the destruction of America and he's going to do what he can to do it. But that's anti-Semitic. The man just stabbed me. He was Jewish. That's so anti-Semitic. Why did you say that? We've run into the same type thing in the same mindset right now in society because we see that the left-wing media or left-wing propaganda complex and those on their side that choose not to give the color of people who have done harm to others. Or in some instances, outright just changed it to white. Now, most of you don't understand that may be the case. They may be doing that at the local level as well on their mugshots. Why does it say that guy's a white guy? That guy's nothing but a black man. Or that guy's more black than he is white. That guy's more brown than he is white. What's the purpose of that? It has everything to do with editing, changing the perception, and altering that, as well as the crime statistics. There you go. But when it comes to J6, because that's coming into play even more so, all right? And I think some of you guys are aware of that. Why is J6 going to come into play? Because we still have people in the DC gulags who've yet to go to trial even after 3 years. We also have an over-exuberant court system who is trying to damage and hurt people by over-sentencing them. It's an insurrection. Nah, you can shut your ass. No, it wasn't. Because the same people that you see, the same paid people that we are seeing here at the campuses are some of the same people, maybe not literally, but the same groups, were there on January 6th agitating as well. Colonel Earl Matthews says that the army leaders stripped Trump of authority on January 6th. Claims that they had plotted to balk at the orders to deploy the National Guard to the Capitol. Colonel Earl Matthews was before Congress 2 weeks ago. He gave an interview with the Daily Mail. Colonel Matthews was the black gentleman, well-spoken, very articulate that upset the Democrats because he was being, we can't be too believable. What are you going to do? Attack him? Because if that happened and I was up there, I'd be like, well, look how racist you are. Why are you being so mean to a black guy? That must mean you're racist, which you are anyway. Colonel Matthews claims that Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time, and then Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy, were plotting to disobey any orders handed down by Trump because they unreasonably assumed that the then president was going to break the law and try to use the D.C. National Guard to stop the certification of the 2020 presidential election results. Could have been further from the truth. A lot has been made about the breakdown in military administration communication when it came to the timeline deploying the DCNG to the Capitol. But Colonel Matthews claims that senior military leadership was solely focused on getting the heat off of them and putting it back onto Trump. The Select Committee on the January 6th attack, the sham one. We've got Republicans. They're Brian Kinzinger. That dude barely can. That guy spends half his time talking, the other half of his time crying. And then you have the censured. She should have been censored. Censured. Representative from Wyoming, Liz Cheney. Oh, yeah, because I got. And see that group. My goodness. That committee and the way that was put together was all to give fodder to you folks and their people. See, we're bipartisan. We've got people with R's by their name. There are millions and millions and millions of people here in the United States who I don't really care what letter they have by their name. They all suck until they prove that they don't. And that includes people who used to vote for them. And that's where you are having an impact. That is where you are critical. That's where you are doing the work. And it upsets them. The Select Committee on the January 6th attack, Matthews claims, was more than happy to lean into this narrative and blame the entire ordeal on the then president. But Colonel Matthews says that senior military leadership essentially stripped the president of his authority as commander-in-chief by preemptively planning to go against orders because they didn't like the optics of uniformed soldiers at the Capitol. I think a very plausible argument can be made that through no fault of his own, President Trump's command authority over both the D.C. National Guard and the U.S. Army itself had been surreptitiously curtailed by the senior leadership of the Army on January 6, 2021. That is according to Colonel Matthews. Army leadership had unreasonably anticipated an unlawful order from the president, an order that the president had no plans to issue and were preemptively seeking to curtail his discretion to issue such an order. That's treason. That is treason. That's not guessing. That's treason. Which is why they fear you so much, because they don't want that man to go back into office, and they are threatening that when he does, that they will burn the country down. Because when you begin to hold military trials for army officers, military officers, this case the Army, who were plotting and planning against the sitting president of the United States, and you hold those trials, don't think that the brown stuff's not going to try to hit the fan. Matthews, who was the staff judge advocate of the D.C. National Guard during the riot, was on the consequential and highly discussed phone call the afternoon of January 6, 2021, with McCarthy, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, and other senior leadership. Mind you, there was a letter that was sent and published, I think, in the Washington Post or Times, by Mayor Bowser the day before, denying that they wanted any of the National Guard there the next day. U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund pleaded during the call for the D.C. National Guard to help law enforcement in responding to the Capitol riot. Who is it that the select committee brought up and put forth that night when they had to have the ABC producer produce the TV show that was their hearing? And now he's on all the cable news networks. That's right, the tattooed dude. But they don't want to talk to Sund. Stephen Sund said that he was pleading for help. And the D.C. National Guard commander, Major General William Walker, had prepared his troops to deploy. Sund said at a congressional hearing, and Matthews reiterated in his interview with the Daily Mail, that Army Staff Director Walter Piot and Chief of Staff for Operations Charles Flynn were part of that discussion, despite the latter claiming under oath he was not on that call. Matthews said on the call, Flynn and Piot seemed almost disinterested in Sun's concerns and displayed no urgency toward getting the National Guard to the U.S. Capitol to respond to the rioters. Quote, Flynn and Piot displayed what I would characterize as a nonchalant attitude during the roughly 25-minute call. Additionally, he said that two Army leaders, quote, did not like the optics of the Guard coming to the Capitol, end quote, even though Piot said under oath to Congress that he never mentioned optics. Both Piot and Flynn were obsessively focused on what they considered the bad optics of the military personnel at the Capitol during the certification of the election. They both stated that they believed that what was transpiring at the Capitol was most appropriately handled by civilian law enforcement personnel, despite the fact that the capabilities and resources of the U.S. Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police Department were quickly being overwhelmed, and the National Guard typically assists civilian police authorities in such circumstances. Piot and Flynn wanted the D.C. National Guard to find locations around the city where it could relieve MPD officers performing traffic or other duties in order to allow the civilian police officers to deploy to the Capitol. The final report from the Select Committee acknowledges that Trump... Did you know this, by the way? This talked about anywhere? The final report from the Unselect Committee acknowledges that Trump did approve deployment of the National Guard, despite claims that he did not give the proper authorizations, which resulted in a 3-hour delay. Former President Trump's eagerness to engage the U.S. military to play a visible role in addressing the domestic unrest during the late spring and summer of 2020 does appear to have prompted senior military leadership to take precautions in preparing for the joint session against the possibility that the D.C. Guard might be ordered to deploy for improper use. Matthews confirms that the president's authority was ignored or completely balked by Piot and Flynn, as well as other military leaders. He says it is contradictory to try and blame Trump for the delay, while also claiming he was attempting to use the DCNG, which is the District of Columbia National Guard, to stop certification of the 2020 election results. Trump's then acting defense secretary, Christopher Miller, reiterated to the DailyMail.com last month that Trump did authorize the National Guard during an Oval Office meeting days before January 6th of 2021 that was also attended by Cash Patel. That was also his testimony to the Unselect Committee, and it has never been released, his testimony. It's important what you're doing. It's important. It's important what you do at home. It is important what you do in your city, within your little town or your large town. Did you know that the select committee that hated Trump so badly that it was all a show, ended up saying that he did exactly what they said he did not do? That's why your voices can't be silenced. That's why you need to have a little firm vigor about it when you use it. It doesn't have to be out of sorts, and it doesn't have to be raging, but it can, by gosh, be strong, and it can be loud. Very similar to the quiet man. You can use your words well that way, and it will impact people. We are at a time in our country that I don't think we have ever been at before. We've been close with some things, but not all the way there. But we are at an inflection point. And sadly, it's been foisted upon us. Thankfully, it's been foisted upon us. Because now we have the opportunity to correct it. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful every day, every single day, to be able to talk with you when we feel anxious, when we feel a little upset, may feel a little bit angry, but we are so thankful that your loving hand through the Holy Spirit just gives us that peace, gives us that calm. It's not a sense of it. It is it. And thank you for having us now living in this time. And thank you for the fellowship that we get to have, you know, every weeknight together with your kids, all of us talking. We know that you're here. We know you're listening while you're listening to everyone else too at the same time. We are just so grateful for your love. We are thankful for the protection that you provide to us, to our families, to our children, to our parents, our grandchildren, to our friends, this body of friends, this body of fellow believers, this body of brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter where you live. You are part of the family. We are so ever grateful and thankful. And it is always in your name that we pray. Amen. Executive producer. The intern executive producer, a couple hours before the show, said we were having the dinner prayer. And that works out well because we're only 10 minutes. We only got 10 minutes past the hour, right? We're going 10 minutes past. That's good because the podcast host does have a bit of work to do outside still, making hay while the sun shines. Although I did get the grass cut. That's done. Not making that kind of hay, but I'm definitely going to have to put up a bunch of wood because going to bring some Texas oak to Kentucky so that we can get it done. Yeah, I'm just going to watch it all around the country. Definitely rain in some parts of Texas. The tornadoes out by San Angelo. It's coming. It's coming. It's beautiful. You guys have a great rest of the evening. Have a fantastic weekend. Don't forget, you got Bards FM later tonight at 9 o'clock. You're probably going to get an update on some of the things that are happening when it comes to the bricks and the fundraising. There's some really cool info coming your way. And then over the weekend, we're going to try to work and get some pictures and some plans and schematics set up so that you guys can see what it is, not just with the kitchen, but some of the other things that we have planned. And if we can hit our goal of 5,000 bricks, holy cow, that is going to do a lot of good things. If you guys know of other nonprofits who'd like to contribute, if you guys want to reach out and begin to work that process of help fundraising that way, they can reach out to Scott. If they can't reach out to Scott, they can probably catch me or Nikki, and we'll get them taken care of and put something together for them. Celtic Christians later tonight at 8 o'clock. Yeah, about 45 minutes. You're going to be doing a lot of pod hopping, a lot of pod hopping. You guys are beautiful. Beautiful. Because, not because Conley says that you are. I'm just in agreement with God. He made you. And even though you may see yourself as flawed a little bit, or you got some whatever hanging around, take it to him. Take it all to him. Because you're still beautiful. And you are still wonderful. Because you were made by him. Have a great weekend. See you, bye.
Well, I put the hell in this town like it's going out of style. Now it's time to get the hell out of here for a while. Me and Charlene had a wicked kind of love, but she's married to a cop with black leather gloves. And I, ooh, it's too late. Now I'm running from the law down the interstate. See the devil won't wear horns and a tail. He'll be what you want when your soul's for sale. And ooh, it's too late. Ooh, it's too late. We thought we were safe in a biker bar. One drink in was one too far. An undercover cop saw it all go down. Talk is cheap, but it gets around. And I, ooh, it's too late. Now I'm running from the law down the interstate. See the devil won't wear horns and a tail. He'll be what you want when your soul's for sale. And ooh, it's too late. Ooh, it's too late. The only thing better me than him. He can't rest in peace and now live in sin. Ooh, it's too late. Now I'm running from the law down the interstate. See the devil won't wear horns and a tail. Could be what you want when your soul's for sale. And ooh, it's too late.
Well, it's definitely going to be a little bit moist. It's going to be, it's raining in the state of Texas, but you know, as it goes through this state, it moves to the east, man. I tell you what, the lower part down around by Houston, flooded. And then it's running along into Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, may take a hit up, finally make its way north. But there's another group of storms coming out on the west side, in the west part of Texas, about an hour and a half west of Fort Worth, and they're going to be moving. They're coming in hot. You guys just kind of stay weather aware, as my meteorologist friends would say. Stay weather aware. Get your apps. Need a Conley app. Stay up though. Watch the weather with the Conley app. Yeah, we're not going to do that. That's going to be a lot of work. Have a great weekend. See you guys on Monday, 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock on the East Coast, 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 in the Mountain Time Zones. Don't forget to pray. And then, and more importantly, just don't forget to breathe. Breathe. Okay? Breathe. Love every single one of you. Later.